Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. I'm joined with Bob Hall, and we are going to talk about the NIT. Wichita State will be on its way to New York here in a few days. They're going to play Lipscomb in the semifinals on Tuesday, Madison Square Garden on ESPN. Bob, you coached in the NIT in Madison Square Garden. Let's get warmed up there with a little Madison Square Garden memories. Tell us about your trip to Madison Square Garden.
In 1980, my first year of college coaching, I was at the University of Illinois, and we qualified for the NIT, and we won three ball games like the Shockers have done. And we went to the NIT in Madison Square Gardens. It was my first time to New York City. I was pretty excited about it. I couldn't get on the team plane. Coach Henson said I could sit on the bench if I could find my own way out there and find a place to stay. So I stayed with some friends. I rode in a car with some guys out and sat on the bench and watched the Fighting Illini play Minnesota, the Minnesota Golden Gophers. They had Kevin McHale and Randy Brewer and Trent Tucker, and they beat us in a really close game, came down to the last shot. And then we played UNLV in the third place game. Back then they had a consolation game, and Jerry Tarkanian was the coach, and Sidney Green was their star. The championship was won by Virginia with Ralph Sampson, Jeff Lamb, and that really good team. They beat Minnesota in the finals. So that was my experience, and also experiencing St. Patrick's Day in New York City is an experience for a young guy. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Who was on that Illinois team?
That Illinois team was Eddie Johnson, Mark Smith, let's see, Neil Bresnahan, Rob Judson, Reno Gray. It was right before Derek Harper came into Illinois. But we had a good bunch of kids from Chicago and Peoria.
And so that would have been the days when there were probably 32 teams in the NCAA tournament, roughly. Maybe a few more, but that it was not what it is now. So there were some, you know, at that point you got some really good talent in the NIT for sure.
Yeah, if you didn't win your conference, you didn't go to the NCAA tournament. You were off to the NIT, and that's just the way it was. And so some really good teams competed in the NIT back in those days.
Okay, let's get to the Shockers. They are, I guess we could call them, one of the surprise teams, or the surprise team in the NIT Final Four. We'll have Texas and TCU in the other side of the bracket. Shockers are 22-14. Probably everybody knows these stats by now, but let's run through them again. They've won five in a row. They've won the three in the road on the road in the NIT, beating the 1, 2, and 3 seed. That's the first time anybody's done that. They've won six in a row on the road, and they've won 8 of 9. Away from home, which for a team that was really just a disaster on the road back in January, it's been quite the turnaround. What's happened with these Shockers on the road?
Well, I think the young guys, the freshmen aren't freshmen anymore. They're playing more like sophomores. They've learned how to win on the road. When they were the first half of the season, they didn't understand the type of shots you have to take on the road, the type of intensity you have to play defensively and on the boards. You can't turn the ball over on the road. They had a lot of problems with turnovers when they were playing road games earlier. And more guys are contributing. Jamarius Burton's playing better at point. I think Dexter Dennis, obviously, is that third guy that can really score, and he's had some great ball games. The big guys inside, gosh, Echenique, Asbjorn Midgard, Isaiah Poirbier-Chandler, those guys are all contributing. And you put those three guys together, and they're coming up with some really good numbers from the five spots. So a lot more contributions and a lot better team play.
Yeah, cutting down on the turnovers and the defense, I think, would be the two main things. Yeah, have you seen anything in particular, turnovers? Is this just, you know, getting more comfortable in the offense? Are they cutting back on some of the risk-taking? What are you seeing there?
Everything. They understand the offense a lot better now, and their timing is better, and they know how to read the defense. Before, they just kind of run the play and regardless of what the defense was doing. And you have to learn to read the defense and take what the defense will give you, because different defenses will guard you different ways. So, and basketball happens very quickly out there, so it's hard to make those quick decisions when you're young. But as you grow, as you get more experience and you get older, then you start reading the defense better. So that's part of it. I think our point guard position has solidified with Jamarius. Now, he hasn't played great in the last two games. However, though, you know, over the last 2 months, he has played really well, and he's been a solid point guard. And Ricky Torres has been coming off the bench and doing a good job behind him. And then I think other guys are filling their role. You know, Samaje is penetrating and scoring, playing good defense against quick guards. I think Eric Stevenson came in that Indiana game, really played well, and he's knocking down some shots now, playing good defense, hustling, rebounding. We talked about the big guys, but, you know, Dexter Dennis has really emerged as one of the top players for the Shockers.
I think it's been apparent over the last two or three weeks that this was the kind of team that was really good for the NIT, or the NIT was going to be good for them. They were having fun with each other. They were not the kind of team that was ready to, you know, pack up the uniforms and move on. They wanted to keep playing. What have you seen from them as far as that road, the bonding experience, how these kind of, you know, being in tough situations, being around each other, being on the bus, how does that help a team?
It helps a lot. Winning helps that a lot. You know, they started winning games towards the end of the conference on the road. They won at East Carolina. They won at SMU. They won a really tough game at Tulane where Dexter Dennis hit that shot with half second to go. And so those close road wins give you confidence that you can go on the road and win. And then they go to the conference tournament in Memphis and beat East Carolina. They moved up to the sixth spot, so they had a pretty good seed, played East Carolina, beat them, played Temple and beat them in a very difficult game. And they played Cincinnati, I thought, you know, really tough, just didn't shoot the ball well enough to beat a team like Cincinnati. And they shot a ton of free throws, and Shockers couldn't get to the line. So, you know, if you win on the road, it gives you confidence that you can do it again. And then there's just something about being on the road together, Paul. You know, that 4 or 5 days we were at the conference tournament in Memphis, the kids bond. And then they get sent to Furman in South Carolina, come back, get sent to South Carolina again to play Clemson, and then to Indiana. So the team's been on the road for about the last 3 weeks. And when you're winning and you're on the road together, man, you really bond. And the team comes together. And Marcus and Samaje have done a great job of leading. And it's really been a lot of fun to watch this team come together and to watch this team grow.
Marcus and Samaje are the guys who could have maybe turned this one way or the other. You know, they're the seniors. If they did not have a good attitude about continuing to play, about wanting to be around this team, you know, they could have had a bad attitude about it. It would have hurt. I think they've had a great attitude about it. Why? What kind of kids are they that they were fully on board with this?
Well, they're good people. They're winners. They both came out of strong programs. Marcus McDuffie coming out of St. Anthony's, and Coach Hurley, Samaje Haynes-Jones coming out of East High. Joe does a great job over there, and played for Steve Eck over at Hutch. And so they've been in winning programs. They've won state championships. They've won, Samaje won the junior college championship, national championship at Hutch. So they're winners. And they think about, you know, to be a winner, you got to be a team guy. You can't be a guy that's selfish and thinking about individual stuff. So a lot of seniors at this time of year, you know, we've seen it with other teams. They start thinking about, well, I want to be in the pros, and I got to be careful I don't get hurt, and I got to get ready for the combines for the pros. And they start thinking about all that stuff instead of about the team. And you haven't seen that at all with Marcus or Samaje. They want to win as many games as they can win. They want this team to be successful. They had a goal to get into the NIT, and they had to fight hard to get there. And then once they got in the NIT, they had a goal to get to New York and take Marcus back home to New York. So they've had really clear goals, and everybody's been on board trying to achieve those.
It's been written about a lot, talked about a lot, but I think those two guys deserve a lot of credit for, you know, doing what they did and keep this team moving in the right direction. And it is nice to see them getting rewarded. You mentioned Dexter Dennis, and I don't know how much the nation of college basketball fans watches the NIT, but if they're not, I think they're missing a guy who may be kind of a breakout star next season. He's really playing well. What's happened to Dexter Dennis that's gotten him to this point?
Well, early in the season, his main focus was defensively. He was kind of the guy that Coach Marshall would put on the other team's top perimeter guy. And, you know, the teams we played, non-conference and in the American Athletic Conference, there's been a lot of really good guys that he's had to guard. So he was basically focused on that, and any points he got was kind of a gravy. So, you know, I think as the season went on, He got more comfortable in the offense. Our point guard play got better. And all of a sudden, our big guys got better. So now teams just couldn't focus on Marcus, you know. Now if they focus too much on Marcus, Samaje was going to hurt him with penetration. The big guys were going to hurt him inside because Echenique and Mittgard are scoring. And so there was more balance, and I think Dexter was getting open for jump shots, and he's a tremendous jump shooter. And he gets it off quick. He has a really high release, and when he gets hot, you know, he can really get on some really good strings. He was 5-for-7 in the Indiana game on the road, and not many people shoot that well in that gym. But he's, I think he was around 40-41% for conference play from 3 points. So he's been shooting the ball really well.
Did Eddie Johnson ever shoot that well in Assembly Hall?
Well, we didn't have a 3-point line in, but no, not too often there. Now he shot pretty well at home a few times. Yeah. He beat Michigan State when they had Magic, and they won the national title on an 18-footer.
Eddie Johnson was a great shooter, and I've seen Dexter get better driving to the basket. Late in the Clemson game, he had a nice move where he got the ball, made a nice pass fake and shot, made a 3-pointer. He had a really nice drive to the basket where he got fouled against Indiana. Are we seeing him add to his game in those ways?
Oh, hey, he's adding to his game, and just wait till next year and the year after. I mean, when he starts to learn how to put it on the floor and drive and pull up and drive and dunk, and his ball handling is probably the weakest part of his game right now, and that's something that guys can really improve on if they spend the time in the gym, and I'm sure he will. His game is going to really blossom and become a more complete game. But I tell you, the thing that's amazing is he's scoring, but he's also defending one of the top guys on the other team. And he's rebounding. And then how about the shot blocks? He blocks 6 shots in the Indiana game. So what 3-point shooter does that, you know, in the country? I don't know.
Yeah, he's really turned into a fabulous 2-way guy. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how this unfolds next year as far as the amount of you know, attention he gets. And I think a lot of people will mark it back to the end of this season, but especially the NIT is when he really began to come out.
You know, we talked about a lot of credit goes to Marcus McDuffie and to Samaje Haynes-Jones, but let's not forget about Greg Marshall and the coaching staff. Let me tell you, things didn't look very good, you know, after the loss at South Florida, and then we go to Connecticut and just get pasted there, and we had a really long flight home. And the team and the coaches really had to do some soul searching. And the coaches brought them together, and they figured out some different goals and figured out, you know, hey, the conference schedule is going to get better now. You know, we've been through the worst of it. Now we're going to, you know, be facing some teams that we can beat, you know, at home and on the road. And they just kind of, they just got this team back together. You know, a lot of teams just would have went downhill from there. But the coaching staff, and Greg Marshall in particular, just kept motivating the guys and kept teaching the guys. And little by little, they just built that confidence with this team.
Definitely a story of a lot of perseverance and diligence and sticking together, all those kind of things. And it's really, really paid off. The ball screen offense has, you know, they've used it throughout the season. Greg talked about they've been able to use it more recently because they're not turning the ball over as much. It was really effective against Indiana. Why? Why has the ball screen been the right thing for this team to do so often?
Well, part of it is we're not a really good passing team. This team just doesn't have a lot of exceptional passers. So the more you pass it around the perimeter, and with guys coming off screens, the more chances you have for turnovers. So the ball screen offense is a little bit safer because you're only making a couple key passes. So and then I think it started maybe with Cincinnati at the conference tournament, where Samaje Haynes-Jones was coming off the ball screen against their matchup zone, which is basically their matchup zone is almost like a switching man-to-man defense. And Samaje was coming off that ball screen, and then he was turning the corner and getting all the way to the basket. He had 5 layups in the second half of the Cincinnati game and gave the Shockers a chance to win the ball game. So I think everybody after that, Furman, Clemson, Indiana, looked at that tape and said, hey, we got to stop Haynes-Jones and not let him turn the corner. So everybody started hedging that ball screen really hard with their big guy. So now our big guy's rolling to the basket, and we saw Echenique get some layups in the Furman game, and also Midgard got some layups in the Furman game. So the next team, Clemson, says, okay, well now, you know, we got to help off the corner guys, off the shooters. We can't let Samaje get a layup. We can't let the big guys dunk it on the roll. So we got to jam up the lane. So now they're jamming up the lane, and that leaves the guys in the corners open. And Coach Marshall's been doing this for a long time, so he knows if you have Marcus McDuffie in one corner and Dexter Dennis in the other, and the big guy rolling to the basket, Samaje's got the ball in his hands, and then, you know, defense has got to give up something. So they're giving up the corner three, and they're covering McDuffie, and so Dexter's been the guy open. So fortunately, at Indiana, Samaje, and I thought Eric Stevenson did a great job of locating the open guy, and he threw the big guy somebody. He was finding Dexter over in that corner open, and Dexter was knocking him down.
And they've got three guys at least that I think are pretty adept at running the pick and roll. Samaje, you mentioned Eric Stevenson, who's had some good moments, and Ricky Torres is good at running that too. How does that help to have multiple people who can operate that?
Yeah, and they have different strengths. You know, Jamarius is probably a better, stronger defender because he's got the size and his strength, and so he can do a good job defending the other team's point guard. He does a good job of handling the ball without turning it over. Has very few turnovers. He had like a 4-1 or 3-1 assist to turnover ratio in conference play. But he's probably not as good at feeding the post as Ricky. Ricky does a good job of feeding the post and finding Midgard and finding Echenique and Poor Bear. And I think Ricky, to his credit, he's been coming off the bench and giving the team a spark by driving to the basket and by hitting those big guys rolling and the shooters when the big guys aren't open, hitting the shooters. And I think Ricky has taught Jamarius, you know, how to pass that ball in there. He's kind of shown him that here's what you can do if you keep your head up and throw that pass. And then I think Eric Stevenson as well. He's always been a pretty good guy at feeding the post. And so, you know, the fact that you have, you know, multiple guys that can handle a point and come off the ball screen, it surely helps the team, yeah.
Yeah, I think Ricky Torres is a good example of when this team began to figure things out, what roles were people best in. When he got really comfortable running the pick and roll, he's playing 10, 12 minutes a game, and he comes in and he does that, it's a change of pace. I think that's one of the examples of how this team has started to come together.
Yeah, I've got a note here. He's got a 4-1 assist to turnover ratio in the last 15 games. So that kid takes care of the ball and gets a lot of assists. And he doesn't get to play a lot of minutes, only about 15, 16 minutes a game. But he hasn't hung his head. He hasn't been sulking. He comes in, he plays really hard. And I think he's accepted his role, and he's made the team better. And I think he's made Jamarius better and Samaje and Eric better because he's shown them how to pass that ball.
And you can tell when there are times when the offense gets a little stagnant, you can bring him in off the bench and he gives you something different, a spark, just as you said. He's been a part of this improvement, that's for sure. Defense has also improved. You got to have good defense to win on the road. In the NIT, Wichita State holding opponents to 62 points a game. They're holding them to 36.7% shooting. Defensively, what's clicking for the Shockers?
Well, you know, Marcus has always been a really strong defender his whole career. He's been a really good on-ball defender. So when your best players, and Samaje will get down and play defense too. So when your best players are, engaged in on the defensive end and they're vested, it's pretty hard for the rookies and the young guys to not play defense when the older guys are playing it. And that was the strength of the teams with Fred VanVleet and Ron Baker and Tekel Cotton. You know, the best players played harder than anybody else, so it was pretty hard for the other guys to loaf and not play defense. So that's part of it, is Marcus's leadership. But I think they're all just learning how to play better defense. Coach Marshall, all his teams play good defense and rebound well. And he just demands it of his teams. And if you don't play defense, you don't play. And he'll pull anybody out of the game if they're blowing defensive assignments or not playing hard or not running the court. So I think the coaching staff has just been drilling it, and it's starting to click in. You know, these guys, they're not freshmen anymore. They're more like sophomores. And Midgard's improved tremendously on defense, and he's doing a good job inside. Echenique's gotten better. Poor Bear's come in. He still makes some errors on defense, but he's playing hard and rebounding. But I just think everybody's playing better defensively. Dexter Dennis, Jamarius, and as a group, they're better now. Paul, before, the assistant coaches would give them a scouting report and they'd tell them how they got to play defensively to stop this team or that team. And then they'd get in the game and they'd forget. They couldn't take it from the practice or from the film room to the court. And now they can. They can take that scouting report and they can apply it in the game because they've just learned how to do it.
We've got some excellent perimeter defenders, Dexter, Dennis, Marcus McDuffie, Jamarius, Samaje. And then they're really tough to score against in the lane with those two big guys. They seem to be just a very well-rounded defensive team at this point.
Yeah, you got a big forward that's mobile, like Marcus said, you can put on the other guy's mobile forward. You got 15 fouls inside, so you got Echenique, Midgard, and Poor Bear Chandler, and all three of those guys play. And so you can trade fouls with most teams' big guys inside. And then you got some guys that are pretty quick on the perimeter. Samaje is really good at handling that kind of water bug type, really fast guard. Samaje is better guard than a bigger guard, the stronger guys. And then Dexter can cover just about anybody, you know. So I think all those guys have gotten better individually, but as a whole, they're playing better together defensively.
Definitely better connected than they were earlier in the season. Let's take a look at Lipscomb. First, they are the Bisons, not the Bison. They are the Bisons with an S, which they claim is actually in one of the Oxford dictionaries. That kind of took me by surprise. Were you aware that Bisons with an S is a proper pronunciation, proper spelling?
I learned something new today.
Yeah.
Now, back when I was coaching, they were David Lipson.
Right.
And they were an NAIA program, and they had a coach, man, and they were in the NAIA finals like every year. And then they made the jump from NAIA to Division I, which is very difficult to do. Not many programs do it successfully. I think Troy maybe might be the other one that's done it in football.
College of Charleston, which has the Greg Marshall connection.
There you go.
They were kind of in that same era as Lipscomb, I think.
So I remember them as a really strong NAIA program, but now they've gone and become a strong Division I program.
Lipscomb, the Bisons with an S. They are 28-7. They went 14-2 in the Atlantic Sun. They tied with Liberty for first place, and then Liberty knocked them out in the conference tournament, so Lipscomb ended up in the NIT. They've taken a similar road as Wichita State did. They've won all three games on the road. They beat number 4 Davidson. They beat top-seeded UNC Greensboro, and then they won at number 2 North Carolina State. Fast-paced team, very good shooters. Tell us about the Lipscomb Bisons.
Well, think back to Marshall last year, Marshall University that the Shockers faced in San Diego, and they had that young man by the name of John Elmore that dropped 27 points on them. Think about them, and I think maybe this team's a better shooting team than Marshall. This team, Lipscomb, they really shoot the ball well. They're led by Garrison Matthews. He's a 6'5 guard. He's averaged over 20 points a game his sophomore, junior, and senior years. So he's been doing it for 3 years. He had 44 against NC State, hit 8 three-pointers. So they're led by Matthews, but they got a bunch of other guys that can shoot. They got 4 guys, I think, that are shooting 37% or better from behind the arc. And they're an older team. They got 5 seniors back from last year's team. I think they start 3 seniors, 2 juniors, but the seniors play a lot. So they've got almost all of their offensive production back from last year's team. And they won, 25 last year? And now they've won 28 this year. So they're an experienced team, you know, kind of like some of those Shocker teams that knocked people off, in 2013. They're a really experienced team.
They're number 14 nationally in pace of play and tempo, according to Ken Pomeroy. 3-point shooting, they're number 22. They make 38%. Number 39 in 2-point shooting, average 17.8 assists a game. So a very, very balanced, very high-scoring team.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge because the Shockers are young. Lipscomb is experienced and older. Shockers are more of a defensive team, not a great shooting team. And they're going to be playing a really potent offensive team. So kind of two different teams clashing to see who prevails.
Lipscomb won at SMU. They won at TCU. In the non-conference, they lost twice to Belmont, which is, I think, just down the road. Those are both Nashville schools. It's kind of a big, big rivalry. Belmont made the NCAA tournament and beat Temple, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and they're both probably better than, what's the SEC team in Nashville?
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt. Yes. They're probably both better than Vanderbilt. So, teams that not all the people in the country know about, but are really, really good programs.
So they lost twice to Belmont. They lost at Louisville, all in close games. They lost at Clemson, 84-67. They're a top 50 team, like most of these teams that Wichita State has played here recently. Number 42 in Ken Pomeroy, 49 in the NCAA's net, 46 in RPI. So what I'm getting at is Wichita State is now playing, you know, Furman, Clemson, Indiana, Temple. These are the kind of teams that are NCAA, you know, kind of 10 seed, fringy teams for the NCAA. These are the kind of teams they're going to need to beat next year to get back in the NCAA tournament. How much do we consider this a practice run for next season for the Shockers?
Well, I guess next year you'll talk about that. You'll say, hey, this NIT run really helped us get ready for what we need to do at the start of the season. As we go into next year, I think the Shockers go to Cancun next year and play South Carolina and might run into West Virginia.
Northern Iowa.
So they're going to get some tougher early games. Of course, Oklahoma will be coming back and playing at home here. So, I'm sure the coaches will look at it. But right now, they're just looking at it one game at a time. I'm sure they're focusing on Lipscomb and what can we do to beat them so we can get in the championship game. Because they've been doing this now for the last 2 weeks. You lose, you're done. You know, so your back's to the wall. You have to win to keep playing, and they want to keep playing. They want to get Marcus. They've got him back to New York. Now they want to get him in the championship game. And so they're going to be facing a team. Now, I don't know if all of the players of Indiana and all the players of Clemson were that fired up about being in the NIT. Maybe some were, maybe some weren't. Now, you can be sure that this whole Lipscomb team is fired up to be in the NIT and to get to play the Shockers, because the Shockers have a pretty well-known national name now. So that would be a big win for them to knock the Shockers off in New York City in Madison Square Garden. So I think they're going to be highly motivated.
Big deal for Lipscomb. It has been a big deal for Wichita State. The Shockers and Lipscomb play in the first NIT semifinal Tuesday in Madison Square Garden. Bob, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. For the listeners, thank you very much. This has been the Roundhouse Podcast.